Welcome back to the program. Hour number two of Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard in Las Vegas, Nevada. James Salinas is out in Denver, Colorado. And also with us is Adam Lefko, NBA on TNT, is also with Bleacher Report. Adam, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
My man, good. I did an NFL betting show today, so I'm trying to get some bets in myself. Heat Celtics, and then I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Nuggets Lakers, and you know, and we got an NFL. It's just a good time for sports and gambling, bro. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a great time. Nonstop action, and so help us out with Heat in Boston. James Salinas has a play on this game or the series, and certainly want some information and your viewpoint here on how this series could play out. Game number two. What do you expect tonight between the Heat and Boston?
I think obviously in the bounce back situation, Boston looks good. Jason Tatum is a possible bounce back selection, looks good. I think what was interesting to me was there weren't a lot of assists from Boston in that first game. It turned into a lot of ISO ball. It was something like a 15% decrease in how they've been the entire season compared to that game. And I think the thing that scares me though, from a Celtics, from a seven game perspective, and we're talking basketball, that seemed to be the Marcus Smart game, and you don't want to lose the Marcus Smart games. You know what I mean? It's a little bit like J.R. Smith, where they have that one game. From a game bounce back perspective, to me, all the signs just point to the Celtics and hitting a lot of the open shots that they were missing. I think they went just 3 of 9 in wide open threes, and the Heat in game one went 8 of 12. And I have to imagine that that'll regress to the mean a little bit. We saw the Heat playing a lot of zone. I think that this is a matchup of the two smartest coaches in the NBA right now. And I have no doubt that there will be coming something back from Brad on the other side. So if I was looking at tonight, I'm leaning Celtics, but I think what I saw in game one made me think that it's a game seven, and I love having Bam Adebayo on my team because that dude is a difference maker that analytics doesn't even understand.
Yeah, well, hi, Adam. James Salinas out here in Denver. Yeah, absolutely, especially that last play of the game where he basically took the ball right out of the cylinder, above the cylinder, and threw Tatum threw it out of the gym. Yeah, tremendous play. So, full disclosure, my ticket is on the Celtics to win the East. I've had it for a while. I've had a lot of concerns with them early on. I was liking how they were playing, but
good
later
you,
as that. As the series progressed through with Toronto, I had more and more concerns about their offense. And like you talked about, a lot of ISO ball. I don't see a lot of movement. I don't see a lot of off ball action. And that was concerning to me. I looked at the assists. Yeah, they both had the same amount of field goals, but 8 more assists were on the Heat because they do run a lot more action off the ball. They also dominated Boston and points in the paint. I think it was like 48-26. So they were getting not only the looks that they wanted, but a lot of higher percentage shots closer to the basket. I'm wondering, where's that adjustment come from? Because I'm struggling to find where this adjustment from Coach Stevens, especially when they play zone, because I don't like the way that they're attacking with their zone offense. Can you help me find some adjustments? What do you expect Stevens to be able to do differently tonight?
Okay, so here are the things that didn't go right for the Celtics in game one that have to change for game two. Number one, Kemba Walker is not going to get it going. 4 of 13 on uncontested shots. He needs to hit some of those. When he is doing pick and roll and he's trying to take Bam, he's too athletic and he's too long. It's a bad matchup for Kemba. The easy shots for Jason Tatum went away. He had 0 fast break points. Only the second time in the playoffs that's happened. Not only that, I think Jaylen Brown also has 0 fast break points. So like you're saying, to beat the Heat, you need to beat them down the court. You need to see Jaylen Brown on a fast break. You need to see Jason Tatum on a fast break. Don't let that defense get set up. And I think also, you know, it's going to be a lot of the other guys. You need Marcus Smart to hit shots. You need Daniel Tice to hit mid-ranges. But I think the key to get Tatum and Brown getting going is fast breaks. And Kemba needs to hit those threes because he was abysmal in game one. And I think if that happens, it could be a nice victory.
Adam, looking at the pricing, Boston currently -2.5 and total 210. Thinking about that under has hit. When you think about the Heat, they really have a nice job with that defense. But, you know, we're talking about Boston and the inability to create offense. Certainly getting into transition will help. But I'm thinking about from a half-court standpoint, Tice on the court, on the floor. I thought when he fouled out, that freed up Bam. And that led to the spectacular play that we saw. I don't know what you think about that. That matchup and Tyson Bam, and could that affect Boston offensively at all?
Oh, 100%. I think Boston is not a guy that has a lot of big bodies. I mean, when you're relying that much on the Time Lord, Robert Williams, I love his potential, but in late game situations, he's not someone that I really want out there.
Right.
I think also, it's Tice. Both of them are a little bit susceptible in the pick and roll. Not much is going on with Tice. He had bad luck to the boards. Like Tatum and Brown led and had 15-13. Tice, I think only had 8 chances to rebound at all. And the thing is Grant Williams is good when you're playing some of these smaller teams, but with the Heat, with their athletes, it's a little bit of a mismatch. So, man, I agree with you guys. I think that overall, I feel like we're all seeing it the same way. Like, when you have a future bet on the Celtics, I hear it in your voice that you're wanting the Celtics to be the team. But I think we all watched what happened in game one and went, like, if we take it beyond the analytics, Jimmy Butler and what that Heat team is, Tyler Hero, and just the mentality of all of their players is game on. There is a special championship fire in the belly right now of the Heat. And what you need from the Celtics is Jason Tatum to truly come out and be a top 10 player in the NBA. That's what he needs to become. He needs to take that next step, with that step back three, and he needs to do what Jamal Murray has shown that he can do in this playoff series and win a game and not play just from the system. But I think that Boston's shooting ability, it will keep them in a lot of these games, but I think Miami is a tougher team inside, and until the Celtics either get tough or hit shots, I think it's the Heat series.
Well, and talk about stepping up and really carrying your team as far as the Nuggets are concerned. You mentioned Jamal Murray. Obviously, how exciting was it to see them not only come back against the Jazz, but then come back against the Clippers the way that they did. And I think they were really able to exploit, when we're talking about the Nuggets, really able to exploit the ball screen defense, especially from the bench players with the Clippers. Talking about really looking at Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams in particular, when they came in, they really kind of worked them in that ball screen offense. But this is a new matchup now with the Lakers. I know with the Lakers playing the Rockets, really that five out extended 3-point offense, the Lakers really couldn't put JaVale McGee and or Dwight Howard on the floor because they couldn't guard anybody from that far from the basket. How do you envision this matchup going starting tomorrow when we're talking about the Lakers and Nuggets, the lineup changes that we might see from the Lakers to battle the offensive really the prowess that's been with the Denver Nuggets?
I want you to close your eyes. It's a story that you've already seen. Let me paint it for you. Game one, up and back, Jamal Murray hitting shots, Jokic with the one up in the air floaters. And what do you know? The Nuggets somehow win game one, just like the Rockets did, just like the Blazers did. And then LeBron, after studying his opponent in their victory, begins to annihilate them in 4 or 5 games. To me, this is the equivalent of a 12 seed moving on to the Sweet 16, and everyone's like, isn't their journey great? And I'm sitting there going, I really wanted to watch a matchup of two closer teams. I think that the Lakers are wonderfully qualified to defend the pick and roll. I think that they have multiple athletes, including the basketball Anthony Davis, and that if you come to them with an Anthony Davis LeBron, with LeBron on Murray, and Anthony Davis defending the pick and roll, I don't see it working. And I do think that the Nuggets will win game one because that's what the Lakers do. But I think it is As soon as I saw that game, I thought, I'm so happy for Jamal Murray really making his name. I'm so happy for Jokic being named first team all NBA and getting his due for being one of the best passing big men we've ever seen, giving me our Vita Sabonis vibes, but like here in his prime, not when it's already passed him by. But the other thought was, okay, so LeBron will be in the finals. Six games is probably what I say. And I'm not going to disrespect the Nuggets and say five, because they've earned the respect of saying I'd give them two.
Adam Lefko was on the show with us, NBA on TNT, and certainly Bleacher Report as well. Adam, so interesting pricing here. You can catch Denver on the money line plus 250. You can also catch seven points. Right. Well, you know, if you're thinking LeBron is going to lay back and observe and kind of take it in, okay, here you go, Nuggets. Here's game one, Cinderella. I mean, if that's the approach, then why not play the Nuggets on game one?
Why not? I don't know. Listen, you're talking to an emotional bettor. Okay. I am not someone that is ever going to say that I'm a tout or an expert. I'm someone that I would be at the bar with you drinking tequila. And I'm just saying that the way that I see it, it's the same vibes every time. And so that's the way that it rubs off to me.
All right. Adam Lefko, thanks for your time today and certainly enjoy the game tonight.
My man, I appreciate it. And on Thursday night football, are you guys going Bengals or Browns here? Because I'm feeling a nice, sizable Browns victory.
I think the Browns need it. I don't know, James. I asked you earlier in the show if you had a leaning. I don't know if you changed your mind yet.
Yeah, well, actually, Adam, a lot of times early in the season, I don't, outside of playing in the big contest out there in Las Vegas, I do a lot more props early in the season because I really try to want to figure out matchups and players and what does that look like before I get better assessments of the teams. So one of the props that I'm looking at tonight, and this is why it's important to do shopping, is line shopping, is I'm looking at Hooper. I'm looking at Austin Hooper over 33.5 yards receiving tonight. Now that Njoku's out, I think they're going to have to condense some of that offense for Baker Mayfield. He didn't look very comfortable in the news having to come under center, and I think they're going to have to scale some of that back. So I think you're going to get a lot of targets to him. He's going to step in for Njoku, and so 33.5. I've seen it at 36.5 and 37. Here at BetMGM, I see it at 33.5. So I'm looking at the
I love that.
Yards.
All right, let me drop heat really quick. I think about this. Last year, week two, Browns get destroyed in week one, come back in week two, Monday night, beat up on the Jets, win that game by double digits. Odell has a breakout game. I look at it this year. I look at the Bengals. This is Joe Burrow. They just lost Xavier Suafilo, their guard. He's not going to be able to play, so it's already a weak offensive line. The one thing we know that the Cleveland Browns have is Myles Garrett coming after the quarterback. It's a rookie quarterback. I think it's a big-time week, an absolute monster week for the running game of the Cleveland Browns. Two defensive tackles are out for the Cincinnati Bengals right now, including Geno Atkins and a free agent that they signed. I think it's a run fest. It's Chubb. It's Hunt. And I think the Browns mash themselves into a victory and cover.
Nice. It sounds like you're going to enjoy that game tonight. That's for sure.
Sorry for taking up so much time.
No, you were great.
I'm excited to be on VSiN, and I like talking sports betting.
Absolutely. Anytime, Adam. That's Adam Lefko. Thanks for your time today on Betting Across America. James, some good insight there. Certainly, he's right about the Nuggets and the Lakers. I don't know if LeBron will have that approach in terms of observing and, okay, here you go, Nuggets. Here's game one. Maybe he does do that, but if that's a betting angle, I mean, are you interested in that angle at all?
Well, I think maybe the last series against Houston, yeah, that happened. They had a long layoff and from series one to series two going to the semifinals and kind of the same situation. The Lakers haven't played since last Saturday, so there is that long layoff. But I think the one thing that they learned from that was they need to start faster. And when we got to game three of that series, it was 1-1 between the Rockets and the Lakers. LeBron James really knew he had to establish himself as not only the physical leader of that team, but the emotional leader. He came out with such energy and passion for the game on both sides of the floor, especially on the defensive side. I really feel like they're going to take that model. There's definitely going to be different matchups from how they played, how they had to match up and play, utilize some of their bench players against Houston as opposed to what it's going to look like for Denver. But from the energy level standpoint from LeBron, I think now he knows. Now the Clippers are out.
Right.
That was going to be there was a lot of talk that the Western Conference Finals was actually going to be the actual NBA Finals. And now that the Clippers are out and LeBron knows this is what's in front of him, maybe game one, he's more apt to try to take that energy and enthusiasm that he did in game three against the Rockets and really establish that tone and that standard to compete at a high level. Maybe he brings that in game one. I kind of suspect that he does.
Yeah, really. Denver has a two-man game, Batman and Robin, Jokic and Murray. You do not want Murray to get hot. And I don't know if you risk it if you allow Murray to get hot and get that confidence built up, certainly in his matchup in this series. And if you're athletic enough to defend the two-man game, the pick and roll, then why not go out there and set that precedent and get the job done that way in game one?
Well, and he's a champion.
Right.
He knows what it takes to win. Denver's still learning, and they're learning on the fly, and they're doing a great job of taking what they're learning and applying it to these games, especially when they're feeling like their backs are against the wall with all these series that they've been able to stave. But it's a whole new matchup right now, and I think it's really going to be a challenge for Denver and a terrific season for them. Number one, I can't see them advancing past the Lakers and getting to the finals, but I think now with LeBron, there's a new energy to him, and I think he brings it game one.
Yeah, he's feeling it, and I agree with you, everything you just said right there. But if you want it, it's +7 out there, +250 on the money line for the Nuggets. Coming up next, we're going to find out if Tampa Bay will avoid the choke job against the New York Islanders. That's coming up next as Betting Across America continues right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, this is your last chance to subscribe to VSiN before our rates increase. Get the Pro Football Betting Guide with over 100 pages of NFL betting analysis and the College Football Betting Guide with insights on every team. Plus, get daily emails, including our experts' best bets on every sport, 24/7 video streaming, weekly betting analysis for every NFL game, and Point Spread Weekly, which is our digital betting magazine. Sign up now because next week the prices will be higher. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to lock in your subscription, including our football betting guides at our best prices of the year. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard in Las Vegas, James Salinas is out in Denver, Colorado. And James, I know you've been following the Islanders. You've been on them at times. And I tell you, Tampa Bay had an opportunity, like the Clippers, take care of business and move on to the finals, but still have work to do against New York.
Well, how resilient is that team, especially after the way they started that series, right, where they just got blown off the ice and nearly blown out of the bubble in game one. I think they gave up 8 goals, right, really just from start to finish. It was a one-way street. But that's kind of – to me, hockey's such a – there's such a razor-thin margin for Aaron winning these games that how long have they been in the bubble? The Islanders, they could have easily packed it in and went home. They fought. They competed overtime. Like, it was a tremendous game to watch. It was an exciting game to watch. And I'd love to see teams that just rally and gather together and really continue to fight and compete. The Islanders aren't ready to go home yet. So I think obviously you're still going to see the best effort out of them tonight. Yeah, you're probably going to see all also from the Tampa Bay side, a tremendous effort as well. But it's, you know, they're laying a big price, basically 165, 170 in that range, getting back plus 140 is, I think, the best number I'm seeing out here in Colorado with the Islanders. I like the heart of the Islanders. I like the way that they really just muck it up on inside their own blue line in the defensive zone. Not a whole lot of great looks. The Lightning are a more talented team offensively by far. It's really not comparable. But with that said, it's hockey and it's tight. And these teams are competing. And again, we talk about expectation comes pressure. I don't know how much pressure the Lightning are feeling. I think they know that they are the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup. But the Islanders are sitting right there and still fighting. So I really lean to the dog side tonight.
Okay. So the dog, you can get plus 150 out here. Total 5, key number. You're avoiding 5.5. You think about this matchup, too. The Lightning 8-3 in their last 11 playoff games as a favorite. So you have that. I agree with you. I mean, it is hockey, right? And certainly anything and everything can happen. You're in a bubble. If you don't take care of business, it's like the Clippers. They had 2 chances to get rid of the Nuggets. And then, okay, you get to game 7. And so what are you going to find in game 7 if you're the Clippers that you didn't find in game 5 or game 6? So here you are, if you're Tampa Bay, you better take care of business because you want to avoid game 7 when anything and everything can happen.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of these series. And I think that's what makes whether it's NBA or NHL or Major League Baseball, for that matter, when you're talking about extended series, 7-game series, is adjustments, but also the resiliency of teams that when they're behind, are they packing it in and ready to fold and go home, or are they still competing? And then on the other side, do they take full advantage? If you're ahead in that series, like the Lightning are, like the Clippers were, do they take advantage of that and establish themselves as we are a championship team and these are the games that we need to close out? Close out games we know that's the hardest game to win. That was it. That was exuded in game 5. What does that look like for game 6 tonight? Still going to be a tough matchup. Still going to be tough to close out those Islanders, and love the mentality of the fight or flight. And the Islanders are not, there's no flight there.
No.
They've come to fight.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in a bubble and you're this close, why not fight? I mean, you're not going to lay down. That's for sure. And certainly maybe New York found something in this matchup that they can use. And again, applying pressure to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is supposed to win this. We know that. If you think about Stanley Cup championship, the odds right now, Lightning favorite at minus 125, Stars plus 135, Islanders 11-1. So keeping an eye on the development, certainly in the East, when it comes to the hockey and as teams try to get into the Stanley Cup finals. I think it's going to be a great matchup, by the way, when you think about the Stars and who they could face in those finals, James.
Oh, it should be. Yeah. I like the Stars. The Stars have been talking about a resilient and gritty team.
Yeah.
Still there, still fighting. Love these teams that still compete and fight. Without the Stars, don't have a whole lot of Stars name recognition when it comes to branding, but they definitely are a competitive team that's going to be fun to watch in the finals.
Yeah, that's why I love hockey. They bring the lunch pail, and we're going to bring our lunch pail back into the National Football League as we go over some line movement and maybe some attractive games in week 2. It's Betting Across America right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. NFL season is here, and now it's time for you to get into Quick Picks, the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and the biggest payouts. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite sports. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play? No problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. VSiN users can sign up for Quick Picks now and get a 100% free deposit bonus up to $100. And use PayPal, which is our preferred payment method, so you know it's 100% secure and legal. Legal for residents in 28 states, must be 21 years old. Go to quickpicks.com/vsinbonus to find out more. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard in Vegas, James Salinas out in Denver, Colorado. And James, I don't want to say it again, but I will. And I've been saying this for a year now. I think Denver is ready to run John Elway out of town. You think about the Broncos and the misery that they have suffered, Broncos fans, Broncos country, they do not like the direction of the team, and they're up against it as they go on the road and face the Pittsburgh Steelers defense that's pretty potent right now.
Well, I think there's a faction of fans here in Denver and in Colorado that will always have an affection for John Elway as the player.
As the player.
But as far, yes, exactly. But as far as his acumen as being a GM, I mean, yeah, he did construct the Super Bowl team 5 years ago, but a lot of that was through free agency. Obviously, Peyton Manning, when he brought him over for a handful of years prior to that, setting a lot of offensive records. He's win now mentality. This is we know this with the Broncos, that this is a rebuilding team. It's a young team. It's one of the youngest teams in the league. How long does also they may want to run him out of here as far as the fans go, because they expect to compete for the Super Bowl each and every year. They have their expectations are completely, they're ridiculous. But that being said, I think with the Broncos, they might want to run him out. How long does Elway actually want to continue doing what he's doing, especially if he doesn't get a piece of the ownership, which it doesn't look like is going to happen?
Yeah, you know, since you brought that up, what is going on with that ownership? But because you think about the Broncos and the misery there, their demise, everything starts at the top, right? Mr. B was around, rest in peace, Mr. Pat Bowlen there. His family is supposed to take over ownership, but Joe Ellis, who is the acting owner and he's also in charge of the trust, is preventing the progress of that succession there from a family member. And you wonder if that is affecting how things are operated with the Broncos right now. I think there's a disconnect between Joe Ellis and certainly the football operations, which is John Elway.
Well, and yeah, I mean, from the family standpoint, a lot of drama going on there amongst the siblings and a lot of drama. It looks like a soap opera if you really dug into the details. But yeah, there might be a disconnect there. Elway, he's going to see his things. And sometimes that's what happens when you have a great player. Elway was a Hall of Fame player, tremendous player here for a long time, and had to modify his game, actually, as injuries and age set into when they actually won Super Bowls. Back in the 80s, it was all on his shoulders. Everything was about if they were going to win, and he made a lot big time plays for them, especially in the championship games. But when it got to the Super Bowl, it's hard to sustain that level of greatness. It was a lot of pressure. So he was able to adapt and change. But when you see things a certain way from such a high caliber type of player, you kind of have expectations that this is how other players can play. This is how other players mentally approach preparation and perform on the field. And he's gone through multiple quarterbacks. I think obviously the drafting acumen is in question for sure. Where are we at now with this team currently? I don't want to start on the field first. Let's talk about the sideline. And Vic Fangio, again, mismanaging games late in the game, not using timeouts, taking those timeouts with them, thinking they're going to carry over into Pittsburgh this weekend. Those kind of things, those happened last year in a sense where in those last few minutes, trying to manage the game when he's actually still thinking about, and he admitted this in one of the post-game pressers here, that he made a mistake. He probably should have used one of the timeouts early on when they were driving down to save some time for their offense, but he was more concerned about actually what defensive call he was going to make. He is the head coach,
right?
Not the defensive coordinator anymore. He's been a tremendous defensive coach for decades, but it's different when he's the eye in the sky when he's been up in the press box. Now he's got to manage the game. He struggled at it last year, and here we go, first game of the season, and struggled at it again.
Absolutely, James. You look at this line, Pittsburgh heavy favorite at home, -7, total 40.5. I don't know if you have a leaning either way here, but Vic Fangio not really creating confidence as he's trying to call defense. You can't stop the Titans, and then you mismanage the clock. Just a lot of things going on. Another tidbit here. When you think about his coaches, he threw his coaches under the bus last year. And I wonder if some of those coaches are more hands-off. Somebody could have gotten in his ear and told him about the timeouts and clock management as he's setting the defense and calling the defense. But nobody got in his ear, and he was all on his own right there.
And maybe so. Hey, I'm the head coach. This is the way that I do it. He's an old school coach. We know that, right? Very autocratic when it comes to his leadership style, for sure. This week against Pittsburgh, man, talk about a defense. And yeah, there's a lot of changeover with the Giants, but I think that defense that we saw on Monday night, they're solid at every position across the board, and they love to bring pressure. They love to bring heat. And with a young quarterback like Locke, I'm sure they're looking at game film from that game on Monday night as far as the defensive standpoint for the Steelers. And they're looking their chops thinking, how many sacks can we can, how, what is their over under on sacks tonight? How can, what is the over on how many quarters Drew Locke can actually hold up and sustain to stay upright and actually play? It's going to be a struggle for that offense on Denver. We talked about it before that Monday night game, breaking that down, where are the points going to come from out of the offense. Jerry Judy's a talent. He did drop a few balls. I don't think that's indicative of how he's going to play. But aside from that, where Melvin Gordon putting the ball on the field again, fumbling the football.
You have Lindsey hurt.
Issues with that before. Lindsey's hurt. So now that you're not going to have that kind of change of pace back coming in. It's a tall order for Denver to coming into Pittsburgh. I don't know where the points are going to come from. I don't know how they score on Sunday.
Okay. Do you like the under then? Okay. So 40.5, we're looking at the lines here, total 40.5. Would you play that under?
I mean, I could see Lynn in that under. I think from the Broncos standpoint on defense, they played pretty well. It's a different Tennessee coming in there again. How many times did they run Derrick Henry again?
Right.
You know, it's 2nd and 8, and you know they're going to run it again. I could call these plays sitting here in the command center knowing here they go. They're going to pound it again for 2 yards, 3 yards. They did a really good job on bottling up Henry. I know he had a lot of yardage, over 100 yards, but it was less than 4 yards per carry. So they did a really good knocking him out. I don't know what that's going to look like for them defensively Sunday, though.
Well, we're going to go back out to Cincinnati before we look back at those guys on this Sunday. We're going to talk to Jay Morris, and he covers the Bengals for The Athletic. That's coming up next. Week 2 of the NFL season kicks off tonight, and BetMGM Sports has a game plan for new customers who want a piece of the action. Sign up and place a $1 moneyline wager on either the Bengals or the Browns, and you'll win $100 in free bets if Burrow scores a touchdown, and that's regardless of your wager's outcome. That's right. Win or lose, you just need Burrow to score a touchdown. Just be sure to use bonus code VSIN100 when you take advantage of this offer. Download the BetMGM app today and use bonus code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets if Burrow scores a touchdown on Thursday Night Football. That's tonight. Must be 21 years or older. Physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard out in Las Vegas, Nevada. James Salinas is in Denver, Colorado. And we have on the phone with us Jay Morrison, Bengals writer for The Athletic. Jay, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great. Fantastic. Looking about for some information in regards to this game tonight. Battle of Ohio, certainly the battle of first overall picks, selections in the draft. And, I mean, so many storylines surrounding this game. A lot of people have interest in it.
Yeah, I think just the whole Joe Burrow phenomena has people interested. You saw it last week, number one overall pick makes his debut. Wasn't the greatest debut. Now he gets to do it in prime time. The whole nation gets to watch. I think a lot of people, anybody that followed college football last year, expects him to do good things in the NFL. And I think people want to see right off the bat how quickly he can make this transition.
Hey, Jay, James Salinas out here in Denver, Colorado. Thank you for joining us today. I'm talking about Joe Burrow. I've watched the game. Like any rookie quarterback, there's going to be ups and downs. You're going to have a learning curve with those guys. Now, expectations for the number one overall pick tend to be higher. But I was impressed not so much from the, you know, his throwing ability, but I saw the game plan kind of change from the first half to the second half. And in particular, when we saw that last drive, when it was a game winning drive, I liked his, how he stood tall in the pocket. And really there was a lot of intangibles that I saw coming out of him, not only his competitiveness, but also his confidence. And obviously the last drive didn't turn out the way that they wanted with the offensive PI down there at the goal line. But can you talk a little bit about those intangibles when we talk about leadership, competitiveness, his confidence that he exudes? You know, this is a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game in 30 seasons. What is the level of optimism with Burrow coming into to this offense with Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, that's his competitiveness is kind of legendary, the way he was at LSU. And we saw it early in camp. The first practice that he threw an interception in training camp, he came back and hit a long pass down the left sideline on the next pass and a long pass down the right sideline on the next pass. It was kind of a, I'll show you to the defense. You pick me off and I'm going to burn you deep. It was really interesting what they did. He got knocked around in the first half, not just on sacks, but he tucked the ball and ran quite a bit, never slid, went out of bounds once, but he took some hits. And then on that final 2 minute drive, they made him more comfortable by going to more of what he was used to at LSU. They went five wide, and they said, all right, the Chargers are getting pressure, but this is where Joe excels. Put five guys out, put some stress on the secondary, let Joe make the quick decision, and he did. He was 7 of 10 on that drive. They got 6 first downs on that drive, got all the way down to the 3-yard line, really should have won the game. That was one of the most impressive things, to just to see him improve as that first game went on. And that's just a micro look at what they're hoping to see the season as a whole, with him improve from game 1 to game 2 to game 10 to game 16.
You know, Jay, and that's important to note too, because the Bengals, their coaching staff, recognizing what Burrow does well, as opposed with Cleveland, they're still trying to figure it out with Baker Mayfield, and he's struggling right now. So, in a short week, some people maybe have a little bit of concern about preparation for Joe Burrow and the limited time that he has to get ready for this game tonight.
Yeah, that's always a concern, but you have a lot of these Thursday games are division games, so you're familiar with the personnel. This is a little different because Cleveland has a new head coach, so you're not quite sure what you're going to get. You really can't even go off of week 1 because that was such a blowout in Baltimore that, you know, maybe in the second half they got a little more vanilla and didn't show everything that they were planning on showing. So I'm sure there'll be some surprises tonight, but it's one of those things where you just feel comfortable with Joe Burrow back there. And the five wide thing was something that they can't do that every down. They're going to get him killed. But it was interesting that they unveiled that at the most important part of the game. Now, whether that was the surprise element or whether that was because it was going to make Joe feel more at home, I think we're going to see some more of that tonight, and then who knows what else Zach Taylor has up his sleeve for the Browns.
Well, so thinking of the opposite side of the football for Cincinnati, pressure on these number one quarterbacks, I think we saw definitely a different level of talent and scheme when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens of what Cleveland faced last week. But watching Baker in the pocket, it's a different system now. Stefanski's coming over, a lot more plays that start under center as opposed to shotgun, where I think there's more of a comfort level for Baker Mayfield. How do you really see, envision what this is going to look like from a pressure standpoint with Cincinnati? So I think we saw a lot of pressure looks, a lot of fire zone defense coming up at the line of scrimmage to give the look like they're going to come after him and bring some heat on Mayfield. What does that look like from the Cincinnati perspective going into tonight's game?
Yeah, they're a little hamstrung because they don't have Geno Atkins, their Pro Bowl defensive tackle, who just really gets that push up the middle. Now, they've got great guys flying off the edge, and Carl Lawson and Carlos Dunlap and Sam Hubbard, and we've even seen Sam Hubbard move inside to three technique on third down last week. But you're right, they have two rookie linebackers drafted, Logan Wilson in the third round, Akeem Davis-Guyther in the fourth round, and they put those guys on the field together on third down, almost every single third down last week against the Chargers. And it was unique because you would think if you're going to stick a rookie in there to get his feet wet, you would put him with 10-year vet Josh Bynes or last year's rookie starter Jermaine Pratt. And they didn't do that. They had Pratt and Bynes on first and second, and they had two rookies in there on third down, and they blitzed them quite a bit. Davis-Guyther almost got home once, but that's going to be something to watch tonight too, because they're not going to have the push. It's not just Geno Atkins, the guy they went and signed right before training camp. Mike Daniels, a longtime player in this league, is a three technique. He's out as well. So they're really lacking the push up the middle. I think the bigger issue is not going to be the pressure on Baker Mayfield. It's going to be how they can stop Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, because the Bengals for the last 3 or 4 years have been one of the worst run defenses in the league. That's why they went out and drafted three linebackers this year, why they signed Josh Bynes in free agency, and they signed DJ Reader in free agency. That's going to be the key to this game, is whether they can stop those two running backs.
Yeah, the old black and blue division. I mean, you think about this division, the Ravens have it going, Jay. Browns trying to get started. The Steelers defense looks invincible out there, and then the Bengals with Burrow waiting to see if he can get it going. Thank you for your time today. Thanks for being on Betting Across America. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, good talking to you guys.
It's Jay Morrison, Bengals writer for The Athletic. James, a few minutes left here in the show. Time to think about it. After, collecting all this information, when you look at this game tonight, you think about the struggles of Baker Mayfield, the promise of Joe Burrow, a lot of headlines, like I mentioned, but really, have you determined if you have a leaning or certainly if you want to play this game?
Well, I'm not going to play the side, but it was interesting talking with Jay there, right? I saw a different first half game plan than the second half game plan, and he alluded to it,
right?
They went five wide. They put him in a more comfortable position like he played in college. And if there's a weakness right now with the Browns, and there's a lot of weaknesses on this Browns team, but on the defensive side of the football, it's definitely in that secondary. I think there might be some opportunities for Burrow if he can settle down. He missed some big throws. A couple big throws down the seam. There was one he missed A.J. Green right down the seam to the end zone, would have been seven. Missed him there. If he can settle down and maybe he's got those jitters out, first game's out of the way, the kid's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of moxie and a lot of confidence. Maybe he can make some of those throws. So maybe there's a chance somewhere in game to look at this. I don't know about the matchup. I mean,
okay.
Running the football, yeah, Cleveland or Cincinnati's banged up. It's a young linebacking core. Not having Geno Atkins in there, that guy's a beast. He's a stud.
Oh, yeah.
So having him out of there, that hurts that running game. So maybe it's concerted effort for the Browns to establish that, especially the way that Stefanski wants to pound the football to open up the play action game. Really, I think the only thing that I'm going to do before the game starts, we kind of talked about it earlier, shopping for a good line. I did find the good line with Hooper coming in to spell Njoku and take over the tight end position there. Maybe get some more targets and looking at 33.5 yards over when it comes to his receiving tonight.
Yeah, I looked for him to be featured in this offense. I mean, the tight end is a position that certainly wants to occupy the middle of the field. Maybe you settle down your quarterback too that needs it at this point, James. But when you think about Burrow too, going back on that side with Cincy, maybe let it rip with him. You have nothing to lose. I mean, maybe the rebuilding situation, but you want to build up that confidence with your young gunslinger as well.
Yeah, I think the key is making sure that he stays upright. So,
yep.
Like Jay said, you can't have five wide consistently out there. But they've also got a terrific running back of their own in the backfield in Joe Mixon. So finding other ways to create not only from running the ball from the standpoint behind center, but also getting him out in the flat and exploiting some of those issues that the Browns have not only at safety, but at linebacker too. This is a thin defense. A lot of injuries for the Browns. I think there's opportunities for the Bengals to score the football tonight. One thing I did want to see is the weather. I think there's maybe 15 mile an hour winds tonight, so something to keep in mind. Check that weather before the game starts.
Great job today, James. We'll see you tomorrow, and good luck with your plays, man.
Thanks, partner. Good luck, everybody out there. Let's have a fun night.
That'll do it for us today. Come up next, my guys in the desert. We'll see you tomorrow right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.